so much has been flipping around, I have not figured it out yet. So,
by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature center paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and we are exploring past lives and reincarnation tonight. I'm going to begin by playing a singing bowl that literally has gone around the world with me. And as I play this singing bowl, I invite all of you who are listening live and later via CSNP, that's Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, and those of you watching and listening via Selena Fox updates on Facebook, to call to mind your own beliefs, your own ways of conceptualizing what happens after death and past lives if you've had any encounters. Divine is one, divine is many, divine that's within us, divine that is around us. Be with us, be in us, guide us as we explore the realm of reincarnation. Reincarnation is a concept that can take a variety of different forms. It is something that's very ancient as a form of belief and understanding. It is part of a number of the world's religions. And within contemporary nature spirituality, Wiccan ways, Druidism, heathenism, other forms of contemporary paganism, it is a concept that most traditions embrace. I invite you all, as you consider reincarnation, to be aware that there are a variety of different theories and worldviews about this. What I'll be sharing tonight are some of my own ideas as I've explored reincarnation and past lives. I didn't really set out to think about past lives as I was growing up, but I had a number of experiences in this life that have led me to embrace reincarnation as a good way to explain these experiences that I've had personally. As I've developed as a priestess and as a therapist, I've had opportunities to work with clients and community members who embrace reincarnation as part of their spiritual worldviews and who are looking for ways to better understand their experiences and encounters with past life memories. Part of the work that I've done over the years has been to listen, to dialogue, to research, to discuss, and to keep my mind open to new possibilities and understandings about this concept. my own way of looking at reincarnation really is influenced by my work in environmental science. I see no conflict within my own way of looking at the world between the scientific way of observing nature and phenomena and mystical encounters. I see them as two different facets of the quest for truth and understanding and wisdom. What happens when we die? Do we survive death? I believe that we do, and that each of us has a soul. And as we die, that soul begins its process of concluding its time in this incarnation and transforming into the next dimension, what some might call the beyond, to return to source, return to creator, blending with the light, journey to the realm of the ancestors. And what happens after death? Does one go to another dimension called heaven or Summerlands or the other world or the Tir-na-n-og, the land of eternal youth, Anavan? It goes by many names depending on the pagan tradition or religious philosophy. When one goes to this other world, does one stay there? Or does one return and have another incarnation? My own understanding of this is it depends. I think for some who might be called old souls, there is a return to an incarnation, but it may not be instantaneously happening. Indeed, I think there is a period or process before one incarnates again. But when you've left this incarnation, you move into another dimension that has time and space operating differently. As one returns to an incarnation, is it the soul that's been in a previous incarnation joining back here on earth in another life? Total soul just moving on with its journey? Some traditions say yes. Other traditions say that part of one's soul goes into another incarnation. And some expressions of reincarnation actually see that one's soul might go and have a variety of other lives, some simultaneously and some in sequence. I have what I call the recycling theory of reincarnation, and this comes from understanding that energy in our world can change forms, but it's still there. So take a glass bottle and you send it off to the recycling plant. Well, it goes into a great vat and gets melted down, and from that glass bottle, other glass bottles are created. And some of that glass bottle from its previous existence may appear in one form, and some may appear in another form, and some might not go into any other forms at all, depending on the quality of the glass and the recycling process. Is this an accurate representation of reincarnation or not? Well, time will tell. Hopefully, as I continue to grow and evolve in this incarnation, I will have a chance to learn more about whether this perspective is correct or not. But I tend to find this a useful way of understanding what happens after death and how someone might have a series of different lifetimes and may be able to connect with those lifetimes in this particular lifetime. This is not the only view of reincarnation. If you go and look within Hinduism, you will find some additional views and also some variety of views there. And it really does depend, when you look at nature spirituality traditions, which path that you encounter and how it is expressed there. For those of you who are on the Facebook live stream, I invite you to share your own viewpoint. Is there reincarnation? Have you experienced it? And if so, what form do you see it taking? Now, after death and one has another life, is that a human life? Or are you able to reincarnate as a creature, as a tree, or some other form? Transmigration of souls is sometimes what this is called. I actually think that part of ourselves can go forth into the universe, into some other forms. But what I'm going to be talking about tonight with reincarnation and past lives is really focusing on the human experience, human incarnations. In addition to taking a look at reincarnation itself, conceptualizing this, it's important to also look at your own personal experiences and to relate that and, when necessary, update your own thinking about life, death, and rebirth. In a number of Wiccan and other craft traditions, Samhaintide, which happens in the Northern Hemisphere in late October into the early part of November, is considered the new year. It's a time of paying respects to the dead and the ancestors. It's looking ahead to the new year. But for me, it's also been a time of reflecting on myself in this incarnation. And at times, as part of my Samhain meditations, I not only have been able to be in touch with ancestors and beloved dead, but to connect with other dimensions of myself, including past lives. In fact, at Circle Sanctuary, in the pre-pandemic times, we would gather for several days of Samhain celebrations, and an event on the Friday night of our weekend celebration of Samhain, our Samhain festival, is what we call the Witch's Ball, and it includes having some music and having costumes and celebrating Samhain. And one of the traditions we've been doing since the 1970s as part of costuming is having it be an option to come as you were in another life. And it is really amazing to be able to have fun with past lives at Samhaintide in this costuming way. How to explore past lives. You may find that you have a sense of a past life through a flash of revelation or insight, or you might have a dream in which you experience yourself in another time, in another place. I invite you to consider any explorations that you do in past lives, to have some way of documenting your experiences and your understandings of this. This not only gives you a record of what you've experienced, but it helps you understand and evolve your understanding of the experience and integrate it within your psyche. I first started encountering understandings of past lives, but I didn't call it that, when I was a young girl. I do think that I had a life during what is called the colonial period in what's now known as the United States of America. Yes, I know some information now through ancestral research that I had ancestors that were part of birthing the USA as a nation back in the late 1700s. But there's a part of myself that has experienced myself back in that time period. As part of my recreation, my fantasy life, my play life with my sisters as I was growing up, I did enactments of being someone that lived in America during that time period. Now, where did that come from? It might have come from the fact that I grew up in Virginia, and there's a lot of information that gets shared directly through educational encounters, as well as it's just part of the culture. When you grow up in Virginia, and you've had ancestors there for several hundred years, the stories get passed through family lines. There's lots of libraries and things. So part of my experience may have come from the environment where I was raised, but I have had a real resonance for that period of time, the 1700s, the 18th century, and Virginia in particular. I went from enacting being someone who was a patriot during the Revolutionary War to actually going to college at the College of William and Mary, which is located in Williamsburg, Virginia. And talk about time travel, the place called Williamsburg, part of it has been restored and some new buildings created. Actually, you can experience the late 1600s into the 1700s and into the Revolutionary War period by visiting Williamsburg in the 21st century, pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. I really hope we will get to a point in 2021 where I can travel, because I will be celebrating my 50th reunion from graduating from the College of William and Mary. I found that as I experienced my time in Williamsburg, not only in the college campus, but as I walked the streets of this place, I had a strong sense that a part of myself had walked those streets back in the 1700s. Do I have proof of that? No. But I found myself knowing things there that would be best described as coming from a strong resonance with the place. And of course, if I get information intuitively, the scientist in me, it will go ahead and do some research and see if what I've perceived might have some historical underpinning that I can actually check out with the historical record. So every time I go back to Williamsburg, I not only am there reliving my college days from 1967 to 1971, but I also resonate with a part of myself that I think lived there, visited there, did work there back in the 18th century. I moved to Wisconsin after I left graduate school the first time. I helped break the gender barrier at Rutgers University and then went traveling around the country, took a break from studies, and ended up in Wisconsin. Within the first year that I was in Wisconsin, I started experiencing connections with the land. And I had been to Wisconsin once before in this life on a family vacation, traveling around and seeing the USA. And so I'd been to Madison, which is not too far from where Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve is, and I live right next door to Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. I felt a resonance. I felt called to live in Wisconsin, so I made Wisconsin my home. During the first few years that I was in Wisconsin, I had a chance to connect with a number of people who were involved in what some you might call metaphysics, exploring consciousness and understanding inner knowledge. And some of the people I connected with were people that explored past lives. So I became aware of ways to do that and found it really amazing. And it continues to be part of my spiritual practices to this very day. When I was returning to school, I went back to school, not in psychology. I was in a PhD program to be a psychologist and had left that program at Rutgers and then ended up in Wisconsin, and I went into commercial art and photography. I had a real strong passion for the creative art throughout my life, and I had a one-room studio apartment not too far from the state capitol building in downtown Madison. And I remember having a deep sleep and having a dream while I was living at that location. Now, is it because was I making a connection with spirit and place? It is said in a number of oral traditions amongst the indigenous peoples or first peoples, as some people prefer that phrase, the Native American peoples of Wisconsin. Part of the tradition is that area where our state capitol building is now situated had been a meeting ground that was a place of peace, bringing the different tribal peoples together. And it's located between two lakes, something known as the Isthmus. And I was definitely in that orb. So I actually was on ancient sacred land. Could that have had something to do with this? I don't know, but I had a very vivid dream. I saw myself in ceremonial dress with feathers, and there was a sacred fire atop a beautiful and magnificent mound. It was an earthwork, and there was a ceremony. It was summer solstice, and I was there, and there was offerings to the sacred fire, and it was so vivid. I was there. I experienced it, and really felt that was a part of me. As I resonated with that, I started returning to a waking state of consciousness. And I've done a lot of dream work over the years. So one of the things that I did was invite my consciousness to help me get some facts about where is this. I saw in my dream a hand point to a map, a place between Madison and Milwaukee. And when I get something that dramatic in a dream, I'm going to make a note of it, and if I actually get a response, and this is what you might call lucid dreaming, where you become aware that you're dreaming or having an experience while you're in it, and then you are able to interact there. So I asked, you know, where is this? I got an answer, and then after making note of my dream, I got a map and moved my hand along just as I had seen in the vision as I was waking up, and saw the name Aztalan. And when I saw that, I got chills. Now, I get chills as a sign physiologically that I'm onto something. This has happened throughout my life, but as I've developed in my priestess work and in my psychotherapy work, doing healing work with clients, this is a sign that I've tapped into something. And when I saw that, I knew I had to check it out. So I called up some people who were part of a group, a magical group I was part of. It was a ceremonial magical lodge, and we decided to make a field trip there. And I got there, and lo and behold, this archaeological site, which is fortunately being protected now, has mounds, earthen mounds. And actually going there as a result of this vision, dream, experience, deepened my connection with the place. I feel strongly that it not only was a message coming from being part of the land known as Wisconsin, and in particular, sacred land that dates back before the European settlement. But I had a strong sense that I had seen an image, a scene from a previous life. I have no way of, you know, knowing that with absolute certainty, but certainly one way that I have worked with that past life experience has been to be part of the process of preserving that site. So I'm a lifetime member of the Friends of Aztalan. And that work is continuing to go forward. I'm excited about that. Something else I did besides going to the site, I went to historical records. I went to the University of Wisconsin libraries. I went to the State Historical Society library and looked to find out more information about this site. In my dream, I saw three mounds very clearly. When I visited the actual site, there were two mounds. Well, I learned from research that due to European settlement, some of the mounds were used for farming. So there was some destruction of some of those mounds, and one of the mounds pretty much disappeared. However, maps from the mid-1800s showed the three mounds. I even have had a series of conversations over time with the state archaeologist in Wisconsin. And the first one I talked with, I gave a lot of details. I made an appointment. I saw her and talked and gave her information she got pretty surprised about, because she had done research at that site but hadn't published all the findings. And when she asked me how I came to know that, and I told her I had a dream, well, I could tell that that was probably oversharing on my part. However, I have since come to connect with others who have been in that role of state archaeologists, and I want to give a shout out to Bob Birmingham, who's written some, done some excellent research and has written a book about that and is very involved with the Friends of Aztalan. And so that's another example of what I believe to be one of my own past lives and how I've taken an understanding or a glimpse and done some additional work. What I'd like to do now is share with you some ways that you might want to explore past lives. I think besides paying attention to what flashes of insight come to you and what dreams come to you and making a note of that, you may want to talk with people who have this as part of their worldview and do some reading about this from people that have really made it the focus of their life's work to explore this. I do need to put in a disclaimer, just because it's in print or on the internet doesn't mean it's good information or even helpful information. So check your sources and be aware that there's a lot of information that is being shared and experiences are being shared. What I'm really happy about is here we are in 21st century and in cyberspace, and I'm talking with you about past life experiences. 50 years ago, I was less inclined to share about this. I wrote some articles about it back in the 70s and the 80s, but the earlier part of my life in the 1950s and 60s, I kept a lot of this much more private. There is a book by Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who's now crossed over into the other world. Honor her spirit there. It's called Tales of Reincarnation. I was one of the people she interviewed for that book. And I shared a number of my experiences, including this one about Aztalan, as part of her research. And she interviewed a number of us who had what we believe to be past life experiences. You can have a past life experience spontaneously, just rising up through a dream, through a visit to a place, through studies, through guided imagery, guided meditation, through ritual. You can invite an understanding to come to you, or you may have it just rise up. When I went to Edinburgh, Scotland for the first time, and this was back in the mid-1990s, I felt a strong connection with that place. And we were there as part of my husband and I were in the UK because we were speaking at a pagan studies conference, and we figured making the trip over to the UK, we might as well do some explorations as well. And so I really wanted to go to Scotland because of my strong connections with that part of the UK. And we stayed in Edinburgh and did some explorations of the city. When I went to Old Town, I found that I knew where I was, even though in this life I had not been there before. And we were going to look at a place that was open to the public, a historic place, and without even getting a map, I found myself going there and recognizing it. Okay, I have ancestors that lived in Edinburgh. So was it an ancestor speaking to me? Or was it some kind of resonance with the spirit of place? Well, those are possibilities, but I actually think there is a part of me that lived there, walked those streets, and knew that place. Certainly that was the case when I was in Williamsburg. I had that same sense of familiarity. And I bring this up for you to be aware that if you are traveling post-pandemic time or pre-pandemic time, because right now the COVID is just spreading so rapidly that it is best to stay at home. However, I would invite you, when it becomes safe to travel again, to be aware as you're exploring places, if you get a sense of familiarity, you should spend some time connecting with the spirit of that place, as well as do some reflections to get a sense if there's a part of you that had once been part of that place, and to do some journaling. Now, I talk a lot about journaling. Those who have taken workshops with me before know that I find it helpful to journal in some ways. Now, the classic form is to write things into a notebook or to type into a mobile device or a computer, or with so many different ways of recording things. You could do a YouTube video or a podcast like I'm doing now, or a recording of some way, a voice memo. I think it's good to make a note of your impressions and your experiences, because it not only sets it down for you to work with it later, but it helps you with your internal ways of navigating consciousness. And as you get more information, you can go back and you can take a look at that. Just as in the art world, when one is looking at a wonderful painting, you have the experience of the painting as you're looking at it. But if you go back to a masterpiece, chances are you're going to get more information each time you view it. I do think you may find you might have some understanding of a past life already without necessarily even trying to find this out. And I'd like to guide you in a few exercises in this our workshop now. And if you have a way to have some paper and pencil nearby, or a pen, or some way that you can make some notes, I invite you to do so. And some of these techniques I have used myself in my own explorations, and that's been my primary way of using them. Some are part of longer workshops that I have been doing on past lives over the years. I'm not going to do a full-blown past life journey because that really is a good idea to, if you're going to really go deep and have a past life regression, that you have a way of doing good process with the person guiding that when you are complete, in case there's something that emerges that needs some additional dialogue and discussion. But I am going to give you some techniques that I found helpful. So I'm going to play my singing bowl here, and as I do, I invite you to center yourself and open yourself and your memory banks to the experiences of exploring other dimensions within your consciousness. So in the next few moments, I invite you to call to mind a period in time and a culture that you feel connected to in the past. If you had the opportunity to go into a time machine and physically go off to some time in the past, in some place, some culture, where would that be? If you want to share what's coming to you into the chat, if you're on the Facebook Live, whether you're watching it live or you watch it later, that can be a way of you helping to remember what's coming to mind. And imagine yourself now being through time, through space, to that place, to that culture. Just imagine yourself right now being there. How are you dressed? How old are you? What's your body shape like? What's the color of your eyes, your hair, your skin? What kind of garment or garments are you wearing? And what is your sense as you call this to mind? What's your mood? What is your energy level? What seems connected with this journey in imagination and memory? And as you reflect on this, relate it to the here and now. What's something about that time period, about that place, that culture, that you could do some exploration after this workshop is done? What would you Google? What would you look up on the internet? Make a note of it, and then I'd invite you, after this workshop is done, to do some exploration. Those parts of ourselves, and I like the concept of past lives, so that's the term that I use, but those parts of our consciousness, why do they pop up in our imagination? What brings that forth? And what can we do with it? Certainly, curiosity can be a powerful thing. And as we use our minds to explore other dimensions, this can help us grow spiritually, psychologically, socially, emotionally, and it can be fun for us physically. Certainly during this pandemic, and many of us are in lockdown and at stay at home, regardless of whether it's actually government mandated or not. Right now in the USA, the COVID is just really flying around, and it's it really needs to get addressed. So a good way to stop the spread is to stay home if you are able to do that. That is what I'm choosing to do. And part of the reason I'm not only doing the podcasts that I've been doing over time, but I've started live streaming them as well. This is a real opportunity for us as we stay at home to be able to take some time and do some explorations that perhaps we wouldn't have done if we were going about our pre-pandemic lives, which for me were very full of going places and interfacing with people, jetting around the country and going to other places. So this is a real opportunity to be able to take a look at past lives for ourselves, the idea of reincarnation, and do some inner journeys until it becomes safe to do some physical journeys again. So we had the whole, okay, where would you go if you could have that happen? Now I'd like to share another technique with you. So imagine yourself going into a sacred elevator, a time travel elevator. And as you get into the elevator, you will see that you have a choice to type in a year that you can visit. So I invite you to pick a year and type it into the elevator and press the button and to journey forth with that in mind. And imagine that sacred elevator taking you to that year. And now the doors open. And if you get a sense it's right to do so on this imagination journey, step forward. Where are you? What do you see before you? What time of day is it? Or night? Are you urban? Rural? Are you in the wilds? What's the space around you like? Do you see others, other humans about? If so, what are they doing? And spend a few moments and explore. You are a spirit being at this year you've selected, so you're not being yourself per se. You, back in that time period, you are visiting that time period. And make a note, if you wish, to put it in the live stream or to jot it down. That's just make some notes of what you are experiencing. And then, as you gaze upon the scene, let a word or a phrase come to you that you can carry from this year that you have visited back into the here and now. What's that word? What's that phrase? And now I invite you to return to the elevator. And as you get in and the door shut, you type the 2020 and let yourself journey back to the here and now. Now, some people like the elevator. For Doctor Who fans, you can use a TARDIS. Or you can use a bubble or some other conveyance. And what's a follow-up thing for you to do with this exercise? I would invite you to Google the year. Put in the year and put history, day in history or year in history. See what happened in that year. And as you do some post-imagination exploration research, see what kind of dynamics were happening then that might have a lesson for you in your day-to-day life in the here and now. So that's making use of a real specific time. Now, does that mean that you actually had a past life then or not? I guess it depends on you and what your experience is. But being able to use the concept of inner journey time travel can be a helpful technique in exploring past lives, as well as can really be a fun way of learning history. Some other things to take a look at. One of the things about past life journeys is to recognize that as a physical journey to a physical place can have an impact on you in this life, an inner journey can also have an impact. Before I'm concluding this workshop, I would like to talk a bit about past life therapy. It's something that I've occasionally done with clients if they've had need for this and have asked for it. And I do telephone consultations, counseling, psychotherapy, readings by phone. I've been doing that since the 1980s, but more recently, I've also been doing Zoom when the internet cooperates for me, and we just got an upgrade to our satellite internet plan, so that's good. So some people get involved with past life research because they have some kind of phobia or trauma or things in this life that they're trying to work through. And most therapists, and I've been a mental health professional, I started that journey back in the 1960s when I went to undergraduate school and then on to graduate school and other things. So I've been really in the mental health realm for many, many years. And therapists, most people that are mental health professionals, have skills in helping people work through traumas and phobias and things that are rooted in this life, in this incarnation. But I have come to understand through my own practice and work with clients that even with that kind of work happening in this incarnation, sometimes a past life experience exploration in therapy can help a person and not just sort through issues this time around, but can go back into other lives. And certainly back in the 1980s, as I was starting to travel around the U.S. and Canada and do presentations on past lives, I had encounters with a number of people that got into their own past life exploration as a way of trying to get better, trying to get over a phobia, fear of flying, fear of drowning, number of things such as that. And some people have discovered through inner research and work with therapists that it actually not only had stuff in this life, but actually there was a previous life experience that was part of the process. Now, there's a variety of ways of looking at past life therapy. One is that you're actually helping a person process the trauma or the intensity that led to the problem that's rooted in another life, and to bring that healing back into the here and now. And that can be really powerful and effective. But I also want to point out that there's mystery about this, and there are some who think that past life therapy is a way of taking a challenge that a person is struggling with and putting it into another framework to better be able to process the emotional stuff. It gives it more distance. And some who hold to that theory actually see it as a kind of mind game to help a person get better. I am totally open to exploring both of those possibilities and other possibilities. It might be a bit of both. And to me, what's really important is that if you're going to be working with past lives therapeutically, it is good to have some relationship with someone who is skilled with counseling and consciousness to guide your experience. And if you're struggling with something, and indeed the pandemic situation has really stressed many people because it's really upended our lives in many ways. I can't speak for everyone, but certainly most of the people I've encountered have really found the staying at home, the not being able to gather in large groups, and now even small groups. This has just really been a big upheaval and has itself brought some mental health challenges. So being able to talk and process, have counseling, you know, if we have physical illness going on, we'll get help with that. If we have mental, emotional, spiritual illness going on, we ought to get help with that. And I do think that past life exploration can be a wonderful journey and very enriching. But as you explore it, should you connect with something that's disturbing or upsetting, be sure to find someone who you can talk with about it and provide support. Just because it's in another life and has happened in the past doesn't mean it's not impacting you now. Dream work is a really powerful way I've found to not only help us work through the stresses of the here and now in this incarnation, but those parts of ourselves that have lived before. I'm very thankful for all of you who have been listening and watching live, and those who are joining later. I'm interested in hearing if you are interested in more workshops such as this in the future. I'm beginning to plan my podcast and workshops online for 2021. And if you have some ideas, I invite you to email them to me, Selena, S-E-L-E-N-A, at circlesanctuary.org. Yes, you can send me a message on Facebook, but you'll most likely get a sooner reply if you actually send it by email, because it's easier for me to track that and respond to that. And there are a variety of resources out in the larger world that you can go to explore more about past lives and reincarnation. I do think exploring consciousness can really help us become more
light. Sometimes we must stand in the shadows. I need the darkness to survive the light. Living and dreaming, walking in the night. Let your eyes adjust to the starlight. Taste the colors in the air. Stand as still as death, it just feels right. Go and dream.
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNPodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.